90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. This morning we have Detective Lori Meadows with the Economic Crimes Division for the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. Good morning, Lori, and welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Good morning.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Economic Crime Divisions and what you do there?
Well, the Economic Crimes Division, we investigate, I want to say, 20 different crimes, so quite a few different crimes, but the majority of what we see is identity theft, fraud, forgery, embezzlement, just a whole host, but basically any theft of funds or money or identity is what we investigate.
With this being the holiday season, why is that more relevant? Because we're shopping more now, and it's not just in stores, but we're shopping also online. So is there an uptick in economic development crime during this time of year?
I think there's an uptick in it in general, just given that we operate in a very electronic or technological society. Our records are stored electronically. But during the holiday season, there's an increase in spending, whether it's online or in person. And also during the holiday season, people aren't paying as much attention because they have their minds elsewhere. And so they're just not paying as much attention to maybe the normal things that they do, the everyday things that they do with their finances.
So I go into a store, I make a purchase, and then I go home and find out that my credit card has been charged by 15 other people. What do I do at that point?
Well, the best thing that you can do at that point is you can report it. Generally, you start with your bank. And most banks will require you to file a police report, very common. So contact your bank or the credit card company immediately to cancel the card. That way you can stop it from being used. And document everything. When you call, who you talk to, the charges that weren't supposed to be on your credit card or bank card. File a police report, a very detailed police report, and provide that documented information for the police report. And then, you know, I always tell people to maintain your records. That's what our case files always rely on. That's our evidence. That's our crime scene. It's the documentation. And so if you happen to be the victim of fraud, that's the first place that you start, and that's the best thing to do. So
I know if you use your credit card, you're only liable for the first $50 if it is used illegally. But I know if you use your as a debit card, you know, it's coming directly out of your bank account. So your loss could be unlimited, but it's also a lot harder to get the money back if it comes out as a debit. So is it best then for people to use their account, even if it's a debit card, and use it more as a credit to get that security at that particular point in time? So they don't have to worry about that loss, that if there does go wrong, that they're only limited to that loss of $50?
You know, I think that's a personal decision. I think that banks, you know, if you use a debit card, banks have gotten a lot better about refunding that money immediately as opposed to waiting. I think every credit card company and every bank is different. We don't hear that complaint a whole lot anymore from people. We used to, that they weren't getting their money back as quickly as they liked. And I think it also depends on who you're dealing with. There's some credit card companies who are a little bit slower in refunding the money to the victim. There's some banks that are very, very quick about it. Most companies will go ahead and refund that money. And if they feel like there's anything suspicious with what the person is stating, you know, weren't approved charges, then they'll go ahead and conduct an investigation and then deal with that after they conclude that investigation. So, I like I said, I think that's a personal decision.
So, I know we're Cyber Monday is now only, it's going to eclipse, you know, Black Friday, and we're all shopping online. And I know we go online, we have no problems clicking in and putting in our credit card information, but I know we need to make sure that we're on that actual right site for that particular company, because I know it should be HTTPS for secured.
Right.
And a lot of people don't look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. Then your credit card is compromised, and not only do you have your number, but 500 other people now have your number. So one of the things people maybe need to start looking at is ensure that when they go in, that it's a green bar and it has that HTTPS secured and it's green, so that they can know that they're on a secured site and that their credit card information is only going to be between them and that company.
Right. Yeah, just double check the site that you're on. Like you said, make sure it's the HTTPS. I know that in some instances down at the bottom left-hand corner, there's the lock that you can make sure that it's locked. You know, as a personal situation, I did some online shopping, of course, and I received an email from the company that I did some online shopping with. And the email that I received, it didn't look right to me. And of course, when I clicked on what they were requesting, it asked for my account information. So right then and there, it wasn't anything obvious, you know, like it didn't say fraudulent email, but something about that particular email didn't set right with me. And I think that's, you know, a lot of people we get that call in and report fraud, they'll say, gosh, I got that email and it didn't look right, but I did it anyway. And that's, you know, that's the one thing I can tell people is if you feel like it's suspicious, if there's something weird, you're probably right. You know, if you are receiving an unexpected email, if the email looks funny, if it's asking you for personal information that you shouldn't have to put in, that these places already have, take a second look at that. Or, like I did, I called customer service at the company and spoke with the person as opposed to, you know, clicking on that email and providing my personal information. So,
and I know one other thing people may want to look at doing is the number that's usually provided in those spoof emails is usually not the number to customer service for the company.
Right.
That you can take a look at. Google the number for the company yourself, or flip over the back of your credit card and call that number instead of calling the number that's provided in that email, because you're going to probably get somebody who's going to say that this is Bank of America Credit Card Division, and they're not actually Bank of America Credit Card Division, because Bank of America Credit Card Division is already going to have your name, your credit card number,
right,
the three-digit PIN on the back. They're going to have your address,
right,
your dog's, your first pet's name, or the first car you ever drove. They're going to have all that information on file instead of asking you for that. So, you know, sometimes that 1 second of due diligence can save yourself a lot of headaches, especially during the Christmas season, you know, when people were apt, you know, if you look, and we look at it, with the Experian and the Equifax situation, you know, half of America's credit card information is out there, and this is the perfect time to use it because all the stores are in a hurry to make the sale to ensure that they make the profit margins that they're trying to make. So, you know, not only are the stores not being as careful as they would any other time of the year, you know, the thieves know that I'm dealing with cashiers who are going to make a huge commission, so they're not going to, you know, I can flip an ID with my thumb over the picture, and all they're doing is saying that as long as the name matches, okay, that's it.
Right.
So, you know, a second, a two of extra due diligence right now can save you 40 to 50 hours of time on the phone trying to get this straightened out.
Yes. Yeah, at least. Yes, you mentioned a lot of large companies have had their information or your information compromised. And it's the holiday season. We're shopping, we're baking, we're cooking, we're running around, go, go, go. And we're just kind of going through the motions in regard to that. And these companies, these sales associates, by no fault of their own. They have goals. They have deadlines. And none of those goals or deadlines are, you know, the personal information of their shoppers. So it is your responsibility to make sure that you're double-checking your financial accounts, to make sure that, as you mentioned earlier, putting your card back in your wallet or your purse or the usual location that you put it, double-checking your bank accounts, double-checking your credit cards to make sure that the charges on there were approved. Your personal security is your responsibility.
So. I know we're all shopping online, and we may be at Starbucks, we may be at McDonald's, and we're using Wi-Fi, but we need to understand also that we're using their Wi-Fi, which is not as secure as the Wi-Fi between our phones. So that Wi-Fi can be intercepted also. So people need to understand is that, you know, public Wi-Fi is public and open to public domain.
Right.
So your credit card information that you're sending across can be captured by others. So, you know, when you're looking at doing your holiday shopping, maybe it's best not to use public Wi-Fi, but to use your personal Wi-Fi on your phone, your personal data on your phone,
right,
so that you're not exposing all your information being open to other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I know we're talking about a lot of new school tools, but criminals in some cases don't forget what's worked for them best, which is to go old school. What are some of the old school things that people still have to worry about or be concerned about?
So a lot of things that we see, you know, might surprise some people. We see a lot of receipt thefts. We see mail theft. We've had multiple cases where somebody had their mail stolen, even if it's just one piece, and a person was able to, from that piece of mail, open several accounts in their name, purchase vehicles, just from a piece of mail. Your trash. Criminals will dig through your trash. People will throw out the credit card offers or bills that they've paid. And criminals, they'll keep it simple. They'll go through your trash. They'll go through your recycle bin. They'll steal your mail. And before you know it, you know, you've got a brand new BMW, but you're not the one driving it. So, you know, it's unbelievable what people can do with a piece of junk mail. But unfortunately, it's, you know, it's just another way that criminals are able to steal your identity. So
now somebody's driving that BMW and you're spending that, you're trying to convince the dealer that it wasn't me.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
So what can people do to prevent? I know some people just want to say, I'll just tear it up and still put it in the trash. But a shredder only costs $10 or $20.
Yeah, right.
And the ones now, they shred six different ways, which makes it almost impossible to be able to get that information. You know, there are certain things that people should maybe not throw in the trash, which is, you know, credit card offers.
Right.
You know, keep those type of things. So what tips would you have for people on those things?
So I would make sure that if you are receiving those credit card offers or you are receiving bills in the mail and you've paid them and you don't find it necessary to keep those as a matter of record, then shred those items. Make sure that you're shredding those items. Don't put them in your recycle bin. Don't put them in your trash. I have seen in people's trash, I've seen medical bills that contain their social security number, their address, their date of birth. When you put your mail in the mailbox, or you have mail in your mailbox, make sure that you're getting your mail on a regular basis. We've had people say, well, I didn't get mail for a couple days, which I thought was suspicious. And then sure enough, somebody had stolen a couple credit card offers or a bill, and then proceeded to open credit card accounts or make purchases in their name. When you mail items, people still mail checks. They'll put them in, you know, just the single mailboxes out on the curb, and criminals will drive by and take those checks out on the mailbox. They'll wash them, and then they'll forge the checks. So we tell people to either go to the big blue mailbox, which is not always fallible, but and go to the post office. Those are just a little more secure when you're mailing items.
We've got a caller on line one. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Can you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
My name is Gary, and I'm calling from Overland Park.
Okay, what's your comment, Gary?
Well, a story about credit card issue that happened to my girlfriend. We were in Vegas, and we went to a store along the strip that was a makeup store. And now my girlfriend was somewhat compromised because she had been going through some medication changes. She's an epileptic. Having said all of that, they took advantage of her by running her credit card multiple times and just shoving a paper and said, here, sign this. And she ended up walking out with several bags of merchandise. We got it back to her mom's house and checked and found that it was $4,000 worth of makeup, which she then tried to return, to call the company to return it. They wouldn't take it without a 10% return fee. And we called the credit card company, and they said, oh, it's got to run through before we can do anything about it. So she waited for 2 days for it to run through. She called the credit card company back, and they said, well, there's nothing you can do about it because it's run through. This was a Bank of America card.
Wow. So we'll ask Detective Meadows what could have been done in that situation. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Well, not being there firsthand, all I can say is that kind of comes back to the due diligence. I think you kind of mentioned that you were at the store and you felt like during the time of the transaction, there may have been some suspicious activity that, you know, kind of made your bells and whistles go off. You just didn't feel right about the situation. You know, maybe another alternative is to stay there. Review the transactions with the clerk. And I know that you had mentioned, you know, there were some medical reasons, so I understand it's not always possible, but maybe stay there, review the receipts with the clerk, ask them why they're doing what they're doing, get a supervisor involved. You know, if you happen to make it home and you notice there was something unusual, you call the credit card company and they tell you one thing. Again, this comes back to the documentation. Get the names of the store clerk, the date and time that you went. When you call the credit card company, date and time that you called, who did you speak with? Do they have an identification number that you can refer to? Again, and speak to the supervisor. I don't think people demand enough sometimes when, you know, they call places, they just settle for the answer they're given. And so if you sit there and say, no, I need to speak with a supervisor, or I need this information, I need to get this fixed. It just kind of goes back to due diligence again. If it's suspicious, note it. Document. So
he mentioned a couple of things. Now, if you're at a store and you give the clerk your credit card, mm-hmm. and they were to walk off with your credit card, wouldn't that kind of be a red flag at that time? Because right. to kind of stop them, and you want to make sure they conclude that transaction within your view, because then that gives you the opportunity, because if they walk off with their credit card, they could be going into the back and writing, they could right. be making a copy of it and getting all that information for it to be used later. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that clerk stays within your view with your card. And, you know, if they run it more than one time, make them, because they've run my card and I said, well, can you give me that sheet that shows that you have, that other one was debited out.
Right.
It was credited back to my account, because they're looking at it, working on the commission aspect of it, mm-hmm. and a $4,000 sale gives them a lot of commission.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, especially if it's during the holiday season, and once it hits your, like I said, once it posts, it's like an act of God trying to get it to right. come off.
Yes.
Unless you can prove that there was some fraud in there. But I think in that situation, I think you, kind of something we touched on a little bit earlier, that there was fraud in that situation, that they mm-hmm. should have been able to go back to the credit card company and say that this was a fraudulent transaction. They could have disputed that transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a period of time, I think it's 10 days within that transaction to be able to dispute it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's the language that we use and knowing what questions to ask.
Yes.
Because when you sit and say, well, I want to dispute that, then that's one of the key words that they say, okay, well, they're disputing that charge, which means I don't believe that's a valid charge and I'm not going to pay that charge.
And that's, you know, that's like you said, speaking as if you know what is going on, you know, being knowledgeable about the situation, knowing what questions to ask. And fraud and forgery and identity theft, basically it's people taking advantage of people who are in vulnerable situations, maybe because they're not paying attention or for whatever other reason. And so if you are paying attention, if you are at a store where the transaction should occur right in front of you and the clerk walks off and it doesn't make sense, speak up and say something. Say, please don't walk off with my card. There's no reason you should be doing that. And report that. Report that to management or report that to corporate. Same thing with the credit card companies. I'm disputing my charges. These charges aren't valid. If they feel like you know what you're talking about and you're going to cause some sort of trouble, then they're going to pay attention.
Yep, that's exactly right. I know something we haven't talked about is that most retailers now are shifting to the EMV chips in the credit cards. Mm-hmm. So if you have a chip in your credit card, I know it may take a few extra seconds, maybe about 15 or 20, but use it because it's more safer for you. You know, you're swiping it, you're still putting yourself at the liability of that organization.
Right.
But if you insert the chip, there's more than just that swipe that goes on. There's about 15 other processes that go on with that chip. And so you're a lot more safer with the chip than you are with the just swipe. And I know some places haven't went to the swipe readers. I mean, they haven't went to the chip readers yet, and they still have the swipe. So you don't have that added security in that case. But if you have the opportunity to use the chip versus swiping it. In some places, if you have a chip card, you can't. It'll detect that it's a chip card, and it says you must use it as a chip.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
I mean, as you said earlier, keep track of all your purchases, especially during the holiday season, and especially check your statement. And one thing we haven't talked about is that check your statement online, because you can see it online faster before you get it in the mail, because it's gonna take 28 to 30 days before you get that statement in the mail.
Yes.
But if you sign up for online, you can go on tomorrow.
Yes.
And you can see what's been on your account. And I know one thing, funny story, when I was in the military, there was an individual who was during the holiday season. I went to the ATM to take out some money, and it said, take out, ask how much I wanted. So I punched in the amount, and it spit out the money. Well, the individual before me had came to the ATM, had put in his card, had punched in his number, and I guess he forgot to take it out. So when I took out money, it came out of his account. And then when I called him to kind of tell him that he left his card, you know, he wasn't kind of thankful about it, but, you know, I gave back his money, gave back his card, left it at the police station. Be aware of your card, but also you should have someplace at your house where you have that card number, that three-digit PIN number, and also that company number, because when everything's been stolen from you, that's not the time to try to figure out which company issued my card and what's that 800 number for that card, because, you know, it's kind of like losing your cell phone. You know, you just know who, you know, I've got T-Mobile, Verizon, or Boost, you know, I've got the company, but you don't know if you've got that insurance or not. So, you know, sometimes it's better to pre-plan for emergencies so that when they do happen, you've already got the script ready. So you know that you would, when you go to the police department, you can give the police department a copy of those cards and those numbers, and then also call the company. So as we begin to wind down, is there any other things that you can tell people during this holiday season to really just make sure they keep themselves safe?
You know, I think that people just need to treat identity theft and fraud just like any other crime. Be aware of your surroundings, whether it's checking your bank accounts, your credit cards, your credit report. to make sure that there's no suspicious activity in those accounts, but also physically make sure that, you know, you're getting your mail, or, you know, you're mailing the, you know, your checks or whatever you happen to be mailing at the post office, or, you know, just even in a line at the grocery store, wherever you may be, if somebody's standing a little too close to you, maybe they're trying to get your information, or at the ATM machine. You know, that's also very suspicious. Just be aware of your surroundings and be aware of your financial accounts.
You know, definitely. And, you know, make sure that you know how to dispute that credit card charge, because it's, you have a certain number of days in order to dispute it. You know, you, in some cases, I've had to go to the bank to fill out a form to say that I dispute that charge, you know. And if you're many of us are traveling, so things right. that, you know, where you're not going to find out until you get back home. So sometimes it's best to know what your company's dispute process is a little bit before, so that, you know, you may be in Florida, you may be, you know, visiting family members, and you may not find out till 20, 30 days later that something happens. So just know. But also, as we said, contact the businesses by phone. If you receive that email, you know, but you call the number that you know that is the number for that company, not the number that they know is you, that they sent you. But also, one thing we need to look at, use your credit card and debit card only at ATMs that are affiliated with your bank, because there's been a lot of people putting yes. those swipe readers on those ATM machines
yes.
that are capturing your information, and they're capturing all of your information. So, you know, it may be a little bit less convenient, but the hassle and headache that you will save, you know, make sure that you, because if you go there to the gas station to fill up and it just doesn't look right, you know, it looks like it's a little bit extra bigger, you know, go to another one, because those are situations where they give people who are looking to steal your information hundreds of cards in a day.
Oh, absolutely.
And then they can just turn around and sell those and keep using them. And by the time you figured it out, your card has been compromised. You know, I can say this, my credit card company, you know, I've made a couple of large purchases and they would call me, well, did you buy this? Okay, before we're going to do that. So, you know, a lot of it we want to blame on the credit card company, but it's about us doing our due diligence. And like I said, yes. make sure we've got our credit card information down before we leave home to shop, the credit card number, the expiration date, and the lost or stolen contact information. So in case you need to report that credit card stolen, you've got that and you're not running around in a panic. You know, check to make sure that your websites are secure, you know, that they've got the lock on it, that they've got the HTTP secure. You know, don't use public Wi-Fi. You know, use your data on your phone, because public Wi-Fi is open to the public. You know, contact the businesses by that phone. Use your bank or credit card network, ATM. So don't use it in machines that you may think are suspect. You know, and like we said, when you're shopping, you know, try to keep that PIN hidden, because, you know, everything's, you're trying to make sure the clerk charged you the right amount of money, that you've got the other things going on. And, you know, put that receipt and that credit card back into your billfold. You may hold up that line just an extra minute, but you're going to make sure that you're safer, because of the minute you go back into your pocket to get that dollar or something to put in the Salvation Army kettle or something like that, out comes the receipt, out comes your credit card, and you don't miss it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in most cases, if people just, you know, slow down, take a second, and make sure that they're taking all the steps necessary to protect themselves, that would save a lot of heartache later on. Basically, if you just do a little work now, you know, and take some personal responsibility for your financial situation, it'll save a lot of heartache later.
Well, thank you, Detective Meadows, for coming on Cowtown Conversations this morning and giving out some great tips to keep people safe during these happy holidays. We never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. And just two things. The deadline for Medicare sign-up is December the 7th, so that's fastly approaching. So if you've got a loved one who has Medicare and they're looking to change their policy, that they have until December the 7th, and the deadline for the Affordable Care Plan sign-up ends on December the 15th. So these are two deadlines that are fastly approaching. So if you're looking at sign-up for the Affordable Care Act or you're looking to change your Medicare program and you have just a few short days left, really just about 15 days, 7 days for one and 15 days for the other. So for Cowtown Conversations, this is your host, Joseph Jackson. Tune in next week for another great show.